is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All right, afternoon. Thanks for being here today. We're going to talk about foster children in Douglas County and a local organization involved in helping out Echo Every Child Douglas County. Harmony Klingenmeyer, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
So talk about, maybe just set the stage, what is Echo Every Child?
Every Child Douglas County is an initiative of a greater organization called Every Child Oregon. And our purpose really is to serve the most vulnerable members of our community, both children and biological families, along with serving the social workers and foster families who serve these kids.
So how did you get involved in all this?
Well, I myself am a foster mom. My husband and I have fostered 16 children.
Wait a minute. You said how many?
16.
Wow. Over how many years?
Over the last 5 years.
Wow.
We became parents for the first time in December of 2015, and we've just kept going. And we've barely scratched the surface of how many children really need support and care in this county.
So when you started and decided to take one or two, how did that process get to there?
Well, I'm a teacher in the public school district, and there was a student in my building who needed a placement, an emergency placement. And they were looking for someone, and at the very same time, Scott and I were already signed up for foster care classes. And so the two converged, the need of the student and our desire to become parents through foster care, and he came to live with us. It happened very quickly over the span of 24 hours.
Wow. And obviously since then, you've probably learned a whole lot.
Yes, I have. Yes, we have. We've had some really incredible experiences, some heartbreaking and excruciating experiences, but foster care has made us who we are today, and we're so grateful for the children we've had the opportunity to love and parent.
So is this just a local organization, or is it tied to part of something bigger?
So Every Child Douglas County is really part of the larger organization, Every Child Oregon. And we have, we have a vision that encompasses the whole state, and we're just part of that vision.
And how long has the statewide effort been going on?
About 5 years.
So this is all fairly new.
Yes, it is. Yes. And I've just been with Every Child Douglas County for the last 3 months. But these 3 months have been really eye-opening for me. I have been so blessed by what Every Child Douglas County is doing to bless vulnerable children and families, and also to take care of foster families who are serving the kids.
So what's kind of your role here in the last 3 months?
My role is to be the spokesperson and to connect community partners with what we're doing. I interface with the faith community, with business leaders, with media leaders, in order to create awareness, to raise awareness for the needs of these children, to raise funds, to take care of these children, and also to support social workers in their hard, challenging work.
Now, you mentioned you're a teacher. What do you do teaching-wise?
I am the choir director at Joe Lane Middle School. It's been my privilege to be a music teacher in the Roseburg School District for the last 5 years.
So you're doing that, which obviously is like its own effort that's a lot harder this year. And you are being a spokesperson for the organization, and you have foster kids.
Yes, sir. That is correct.
Clearly, you have plenty of spare time. So how do you keep up with all this?
With the help of God. God helps me. I have a strong faith, a strong relationship with the Lord, and I rely heavily on that relationship and the support of my husband, Scott, who believes in everything that I'm doing. He is definitely the pillar and the foundation of the work we do at home. For 3.5 years, he was a stay-at-home father serving special needs children.
So at different points, you have, I mean, you might have foster children for a short period of time. You might have them for a long term. Do you have sometimes different groups of kids that aren't necessarily connected as well?
Absolutely. So our first son was a single child who came in, and we had the great honor of adopting him in 2018. And then the next two children we took in, we were also able to adopt. So we now have three adopted sons, Brendan, Max, and Jason. And then we have a population of children who come in and out of our homes, sometimes for long periods, long-term placements, and sometimes just for a few days.
So what are the needs of foster children? Maybe explain, I mean, their situations vary a lot from one to another, but maybe overall, what are some similarities to what kinds of help they need?
Well, what children, all children need is what foster children need. Foster children need safety. They need boundaries. They need dedicated adults to release identity and purpose into their lives. All children need these things. They need a bedtime. They need really good sleep. They need to eat regularly, and they need to play and learn and receive affection and boundaries and positive and negative consequences for their choices. What foster kids need is what all children need. The difference is that what foster children have experienced is very different than what the normal population of children have experienced. And so they come into foster care with those experiences. And our job as foster parents and as those who serve through Every Child Douglas County, our job is to help them unpack those experiences and to help them overcome what they've experienced and also put into practice what they have learned to serve others.
So what kinds of things do foster children sometimes go through before they become foster children? Some of the backgrounds, the family situations.
Well, one thing is very common in Douglas County, and that is the opioid addiction epidemic in our country is definitely alive and well in our county. And so the majority of children coming into foster care here have experienced neglect because of addiction. So they come in with issues such as post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. They come in sometimes with fetal alcohol syndrome, so they are born impacted by drugs and alcohol, and they have cognitive disabilities that they need to be supported in. They need advocation. They need adults who will advocate for them in the education system so that they can succeed, and they can. But what really makes the difference is when one caring adult, and there's so much research that goes into this, but all the research shows that if one caring adult will step up in the life of a child, whether it's a foster parent, an uncle, an aunt, a grandma, a teacher, a coach, that can totally make the difference for the success of a child.
So when people have foster kids in their home, they're working with somebody at DHS, they're working with other organizations sometimes as well. Kind of what's Every Child's relationship with DHS, for example?
We have a really incredible and important relationship with DHS. We help find, recruit foster parents and respite care providers. And we funnel those. We put them through a background check. We look at their stories, and we help them become foster parents. We walk them through the application process so that they can start serving children. That's one of our roles with DHS. Another role that we have is to serve social workers by providing a monthly luncheon for them. Another thing that we do that's really important is our welcome boxes for foster kids. When they come into care, many of them come in carrying a trash bag with their belongings in that trash bag. Well, we provide backpacks for the teenagers and little suitcases for the kids, and we provide necessities like toothbrushes and toothpaste and shampoo and clothing and shoes, socks and underwear, the things that children need to feel like they're not without some belongings. We provide those things.
And a lot of times, I understand when they are going into foster care, they're coming out of a situation where there's a lot of instability when it comes to things like just those basic needs.
That is exactly right. Many of these children have had to fend for themselves. And that's why most of these children have experienced what I call neglect or gross neglect or exposure to harm. But, you know, not necessarily what we think of as gross abuse, but just that these children have had to fend for themselves, feed themselves, clothe themselves, get themselves cleaned up, get themselves ready for school in the morning because of the heavy impact of addiction.
So what's the age range in the kids that are being helped with foster care?
Oh, well, from day one, from coming out of the hospital until they age out of the system, these children are being assisted by the foster care system. And the goal of the social workers, you know, I interface with social workers on a regular basis, I would say on a weekly basis. Their hearts are for permanency for these kids. They're looking either to return these kids to a safe biological home life or to find them guardianship or adoption. But they're really, their hope and their purpose is to find permanency for children.
And like, for instance, being a foster parent, you're working with DHS. Sometimes you're probably working with people from CASA too.
Yes, we do. We have had CASA workers who have been assigned to our children, and not every child receives a CASA worker. It really depends on the circumstances of the child, but we have really appreciated the court-appointed child advocates that we have worked with. They really look at the situation from the perspective of what is truly best for the child. So I appreciate CASA.
You mentioned too, even doing a monthly luncheon for DHS staff. What kind of stressors are they under?
Oh, my goodness. So social workers often carry the greatest load. I would say other than foster parents are the ones who are working with kids on a daily basis. We're the ones doing the rehabilitation. But social workers have to stand in the middle of three important groups: biological parents, the justice system, and foster parents. And they have to manage what is happening and see it from all these perspectives, making sure that the law is being abided by, that the rights of the biological parents are being taken into consideration and not infringed upon, and then also to really think about what's best for kids, which is what many foster parents are providing. And these three things do not always agree. They do not, often, what is best for the child is not what is best for the biological parent, and it might not be what aligns with the law. And so they are navigating this, and they end up being the bad guy, even though they're really not. They are the advocate for the child, and that's why we serve them.
Is there, among kids that are in foster care, I mean, as kids age, there's different aspects to being a 5-year-old or a 10-year-old or whatever. Is there an area, as a foster parent, is there an age range that's maybe harder to deal with?
It really depends on who you are. It depends on what your style is as a parent. Some people love to take in the littles. They don't mind changing diapers and potty training and bottle feeding and waking up at night. For some people, that's such a joy. Then for other families, it just doesn't make sense for them to have the littles and the potty training in the before school ages. And for those people, the ages that, you know, 5 to 12, that really works for them. On the other hand, you have a lot more emotional needs that begin to arise as the children grow. You have the cognitive issues that the children deal with in the school building, the academic pressure. And so those parents really need a skill set to work with the education system and serve children of school age.
Interesting. Harmony Klingenmeyer with us here. We're talking about Every Child, Douglas County. Has COVID-19 impacted what the organization's trying to do?
Absolutely. It's impacted every aspect of what we do because it impacts children. There is a mental health crisis in our nation, and this mental health crisis massively impacts children. On top of the mental health issues that these children are already dealing with, like PTSD, fetal alcohol syndrome, radical attachment disorder, borderline personality disorder, all the things that these children are dealing with. On top of that, they have been isolated and removed from their normal routines. They've been isolated and removed from their friendships. They've been isolated and removed from other important adult relationships like teachers and coaches. And so the kids are heavily impacted. And I think ECHO, Every Child Douglas County, has really focused on looking into the homes of the foster families at this time. For example, in October, we went into a foster home that was needed some plumbing and some work done, and Every Child Douglas County paid for that those repairs to be done because the children are really in the home right now. So we're serving those families.
Now, talk about how, as a nonprofit organization, right? How do you navigate things financially?
Well, we have a very important financial officer. And she helps us write grants, and we really rely upon grants and the donations of businesses, community leaders, in order to do the work that we do.
Wow. So there's obviously a lot going on. And in normal times, if we can recall what those might be, it seems like a long time ago. But organizations like this, you could do fundraisers, you could do things like that. And now all of that is, at least for now, a bit different, too.
It is a bit different, although there are still many avenues through which you can give. There are still many opportunities to volunteer your time. There are still activities going on. Like we say, we are still providing the luncheons. We are still creating the welcome boxes. We are still serving foster families by fixing up their homes. And we still, on a daily basis, need our community to rise up and fund these activities and also give their time to be part of these activities.
I don't think I asked this earlier. How many kids are in foster care in Douglas County right now?
The number continues to grow. The last time we received a number, it was 726, but that probably is low.
Wow. Now, I can remember not that many years ago, I think maybe 10 years ago, I was on a United Way committee, and we were talking about it was getting close to 300. And there was a lot of concern. So we've gone from 300 to 700 in several years. So that's a big jump.
Exactly. And we have about 250 foster families. And if you do the math, that's about 3 children per home. But you have to take into account the high needs of these children, physical, emotional, socioeconomical needs of these children that put quite a bit of pressure on foster families. And so it's important that we do not overload our foster families, but provide them with the training, the support, and the respite care so that they can do self-care.
Yeah, talk about that. Talk about respite care and self-care, what's available there, how that works.
Respite care is such an important aspect of how people can serve vulnerable families. Not everyone is able at this time financially, or maybe your home is small, or maybe you have your own things, your own family members and sicknesses or whatever that you're navigating. And you think to yourself, I wish I could serve a child, a vulnerable child, but I just can't take one into my home. Respite care is the answer for you. Because respite care, what you do is you become a certified babysitter for foster families so that the parents who are doing that hard, challenging work every day can go out for a date, can make their marriages a priority, can go away for a day or so and get some fresh air, go to the coast and rebuild relationships, because foster care does put a lot of pressure on marriages. And so it's important that the foster parent marriage is a priority, and respite care providers offer that opportunity to steward marriages.
I imagine when people are thinking about becoming a foster parent, I mean, you mentioned classes. There's a lot of things that go into that, probably background checks. And I mean, you can't just walk in and say, okay, I want to do this tomorrow.
That is correct. There is a quite lengthy process. If you're willing to go through the process, in about 9 to 12 months, you will be placed with your first child. The need is very high. So the social workers are working as quickly as they can to make sure that people become foster parents if they should. And that's the other part, is social workers need to really look at the home life of a person who wants to become a foster parent. And the other thing is, you don't have to be married to be a foster parent. I know so many amazing single people, even those who are in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, who could take in one or two children. And your home is perfect for a child like this. So if you're a single person listening to this right now and you're wondering, would this work for me? It absolutely would.
So if somebody wants to get connected with Echo Every Child Douglas County, how do they do that?
You can do this a couple of different ways. First of all, you want to go to our website, everychilddouglas.org, or you can go to our Facebook site, which is Every Child Douglas.
And what kinds of connection points are there? I mean, somebody just say, hey, I'm interested, and they get connected with somebody that's a volunteer or
The process looks like this. You go on the website and you hit volunteer, and you'll fill out a short survey, just giving some information about who you are, what your time constraints are, what can you give, what are you interested in doing, because there are so many avenues through which to give. Then you will be contacted by someone on the Every Child Douglas County team, and then we have these wonderful volunteer exploration Zoom meetings where we talk about and we get to know one another and talk about what you can do.
All right. Harmony Klingemeyer from Echo Every Child Douglas County. Thanks for coming in this afternoon.
It was a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
That wraps up Inside Douglas County today on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.